Don't feel like reading. Sit back, relax, and let the story unfold. Thank you for allowing me to guide you through this journey. Chapter 3. The forest slowly released him. Light returned between the branches in thin, pale streaks, while the damp air lost some of its heaviness. Behind him, the trees stood silent again, as though nothing had happened beneath their canopy. But something had happened. Frey felt it in the quiet ache sitting beneath his ribs. The coin was gone, and somehow that absence felt louder than its weight ever had. He walked slowly toward the outer fields, the satchel hanging lighter against his shoulder. Each step should have felt victorious. Instead, he felt strangely exposed, as though surrendering the coin had stripped away something protective he had not realized he depended on. Ahead, smoke curled upward from the labor district. Morning commerce had already begun. Even from a distance, Frey could hear the market. Laughter, bargaining, raised voices, the metallic clatter of carts and cooking pans. Workers fresh from overnight shifts drifted between vendor stalls with tired eyes and loose pockets, spending wages almost as quickly as they earned them. Usually, Frey never noticed. Today, he noticed everything. A laborer purchased polished gloves while his son stood barefoot beside him. A woman argued viciously over bread prices, then spent triple the amount moments later on dyed ribbons hanging near the next stall. Three exhausted miners pooled their coins together for liquor before even returning home. No one looked happy, only desperate for relief. The realization unsettled him. Before entering the forest, he would have understood every choice without question. Some part of him still did understand. After enough labor, I started feeling that the discomfort was unfair. People wanted something to soften the edges of survival. Something immediate. Something easy. Frey slowed near a vendor selling smoked meat from iron hooks blackened by grease and ash. The scent alone made his stomach tighten. He had barely eaten the previous night. The vendor noticed immediately. "You look half dead," the man muttered while slicing meat from the bone. "Long cycle?" Frey nodded faintly. The vendor held out a skewer dripping with fat. Fresh cut, Dominion-grade seasoning. The price was absurd. Frey knew that instantly. Still, his hand drifted toward the small pouch at his belt, out of pure instinct. The urge embarrassed him, not because he wanted the food, because he wanted the comfort it offered. The reward, the feeling of finally getting something after constant exhaustion. His fingers stopped. The vendor watched him carefully now. "Well?" he asked impatiently. Frey hesitated too long. Around him, workers continued buying things they likely could not afford, while quietly justifying every purchase in real time. "I deserve this. It's been a hard week. One small thing won't matter." The thoughts moved through the crowd like a shared language. Frey stepped back from the stall. "Maybe later." The vendor scoffed. "Maybe later usually means never." Frey almost responded defensively. Instead, he walked away, and hated how difficult that small decision had felt. The discomfort lingered long after the smell of food disappeared behind him. That frightened him, not the temptation itself. How automatic it had been. A quiet voice emerged beside him. "You look disappointed." Frey turned sharply. Anansi walked calmly through the crowd, robes brushing against the dusty road as though the chaos around him could not touch him. Frey frowned. "I didn't buy anything." "No," Anansi replied, "but part of you wanted permission to." Heat crept into Frey's neck. The older man continued walking. Frey reluctantly followed. Together they moved deeper through the market streets. Everywhere Frey looked now, he noticed patterns he had somehow ignored his entire life. Workers are buying status they cannot sustain. Merchants are manipulating insecurity with polished displays and careful language. children begging beside stalls overflowing with unnecessary luxuries, a man bragging loudly about new Dominion-made boots while quietly borrowing coins two streets later. The contradictions were everywhere. "So this is what the ledger tracks?" Frey asked quietly. Anansi glanced toward him. "The ledger tracks behavior." They turned into a narrower alley where the market noise softened behind them. Anansi stopped beside a cracked stone wall covered in faded Dominion notices. "Most people believe poverty begins when money runs out," he said. His eyes settled on Frey. "But long before that, discipline usually does." Frey looked away immediately, because the words felt aimed directly at him. Anansi continued, "Small expenses rarely destroy people alone." He gestured back toward the market behind them. "But repeated emotional spending does." Frey leaned against the wall silently. The frustration building inside him finally surfaced. "So what are people supposed to do?" he snapped quietly. "Work endlessly and deny themselves every small comfort until they die." Several nearby workers glanced toward him before quickly moving on. Anansi did not react. "That is not what I said." "Then what are you saying?" The older man studied him carefully before answering. "I am saying many people spend their lives feeding emotional hunger while starving their future." The alley fell silent. Frey thought about the coin, the liquor, the boots, the food stall moments earlier. All those small decisions had always felt separate in his mind. Now they looked connected. Patterns instead of moments. That realization disturbed him deeply. Anansi stepped closer. "The Dominion profits from exhausted people," he said quietly. "Exhausted people seek relief. Relief creates dependency. Dependency creates obedience." Frey swallowed hard, because suddenly the markets no longer looked chaotic. They looked engineered, not fully controlled, but understood, as though someone had studied human weakness closely enough to build systems around it. A cold feeling crept into his stomach. "The ledger," Frey murmured. Anansi nodded once. "It records far more than coin." Silence stretched between them. Then Anansi reached into his robes and removed a folded piece of parchment. Old, worn, covered in faded ink. He handed it to Frey carefully. "What is this?" "A fragment." Frey unfolded it slowly. Rows of names covered the page beside strange markings and calculations he struggled to understand. But one section stood out immediately. "Recurring labor deficits are tied to consumption behavior." Another line beneath it read, "Predictability increases under emotional strain." Frey's chest tightened. "This is tracking people." Anansi's expression darkened slightly. "No," he said softly. "It is studying them." A chill moved through Frey despite the afternoon heat. For the first time, he understood why knowledge itself felt dangerous in Aerith. Because once a person recognized the pattern, they could no longer pretend the cage was accidental. Anansi took the parchment back carefully. Then he looked toward the distant crystal cities floating high beyond the firmament. "The most powerful systems," he said quietly, "are the ones people mistake for normal." Frey followed his gaze upward, above the labor smoke, above the market noise, above the endless exhaustion. The crystal towers gleamed beautifully against the sky, untouched, watching. And somewhere deep inside himself, Frey felt something shifting again. Not hope, something harsher. Awareness. Frey's journal, Cycle 2, Phase 1, Solar Arc 218.